You better listen to a sermon by Apostle Aramel Sai. Apostle Aramel Sai is the founder of Remnant Christian Network based in Makati, Benue State, Nigeria. We strive for the rebirth of apostolic Christianity.
Turn your Bibles with me quickly as we make an attempt to make some progress. I want to begin from a contrast and a comparison. A linguistic investigation. I want to compare two words from the linguistic perspective. The words will be ecclesia, which is the Greek for church, synagoge, which is the Greek for synagogue. Like I said during the morning session, synagoge talks about a gathering of men according to the will of man. Ecclesia, on the other hand, is governmental. Ecclesia is what? It's governmental. What ecclesia means, let me give you from the lexicon. It means governmental, it means legislative, it means judicial people. Actually, within the scope of the rendering of the word, the usage of the word in context, it actually means congressmen or house of assembly, senators. That's what ecclesia means. It's a governmental terminology. Governmental terminology. And so if you go into your lexicon and you probe into the word ecclesia, you will have two distinct meanings, one of which is congressmen, like the guys in the Senate, the guys in the House of Representatives. That's number one. That speaks about our legislative capacities. Then number two, ecclesia. The word ecclesia, just like I said, is a Roman military term, the Roman governmental terminology. And so if we have, let's say the Roman guys, the Roman soldiers conquer a new territory, what they will do is that they will reach back into the pool of functionaries right there in Rome and get three people. One skilled in Roman law, one skilled in the Roman military, another one skilled in Roman government. And these three people are anointed by Caesar and dispatched to that new colony that has been captured. One operates as the functionary of government, normally called the Herod. The functionary of justice, the keeper of the justice system, and the functionary of the military in order to maintain law and order within the space. The assignment of the ecclesia will be to deculturize this new community and to make them Roman. Upon the face of the earth, it is expected that the ecclesia will deculturize people and make them Christ-like. Make them function under the government of Christ. If that kind of facility does not exist territorially, then we have a problem. The average Christian perceives church as fellowship. Meanwhile, church is government. We build fellowships instead of building governments. Now, in order for a government to run, you need to have legislative arm, you need to have judicial, the judicial arm, you need to have the governmental arm. Is that not so? Oh my. Now, so we are going to see the workings of this governmental philosophy as it affects the church, the body of Christ. What we are supposed to be within a particular territory. If these things are absent, the ecclesia is absent. We can do many things that are distorted from our original reason for existence in a particular territory. But the reason why we exist is to extend a kingdom, bring the influence of a kingdom into the localities where we are found. And that's what ecclesia means. Many of us consider church as gatherings. Meanwhile, that is synagogue. Like I said, synagogue doesn't need any vital connection to heaven to exist. just like student union. People gather for different purposes. Not necessarily unto God. And even people of God too can gather, not necessarily unto God, even in church. But we'll find out as we progress in the study. If you are still here, say amen. Amen. Alright. Let us take a scripture. This scripture is the groundwork that reveals the practice and the procedure of our capacity for legislation. We are capable of legislation within this territory because we are congressmen. Unfortunately, among congressmen in a Senate, there is a terminology called a quorum. Hallelujah. Amen. I fail to tell us that the use and the function, the meaning of the word ecclesia, that ecclesia, it exists only in the plural. Are you with me? That means you cannot be an ecclesia as an individual, unfortunately. In order for us to carry out functions of the ecclesia, we need more than one person, because there is a quorum that must be satisfied. Is that clear? Alright, let's take a scripture quickly. That scripture will be Matthew. That scripture will be Matthew. Amen. Let's do this Bible study, Matthew chapter 18, verse 18. If the technical man is still here, I want to employ you to flash on the screen Matthew chapter 18, verse 18. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. It seems you are normally sober in the evening in Kaduna State. You are sober. Amen. Matthew chapter 18, verse 18. Now, I need to inform us of the layout we are trying to venture into. A very strategic layout. And these few scriptures we are going to be consulting in order to establish our legislative operations as the ecclesia are deep. They are deep renderings, deep presentations that Jesus made, expecting that we'll find the full scope of our masculinity as a people and become territorially relevant if we know how to legislate. We are congressmen, a senator representing your constituency. You can insult him in the village. He's not powerful in the village. His powers are not in the village. His powers are tied to the red chamber. He's not powerful outside of the red chamber. Are you with me? You are thinking before you answer. Okay, think very well. I say your senator is not powerful outside of the red chamber. People can insult him in the village, and he has no power. But when he gets into the Senate House, he himself as an individual has no power because he cannot form a quorum. However, if he is in the company of his colleagues, he can vote for your village to become Cameroon. Are you with me? Now, it's a tricky kind of subject, so we need to look at it very technically, having abreast of all the legislative facts. One of the greatest icons that ever walked this world, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You can't beat him. He is perfect. If you take time to study the Gospels, Ask God to give you a little insight about Jesus. Indeed, it's not of this world. Now, so let's follow this with gravity of soul in order for us to stay in sync with what Jesus is trying to unveil to us in keeping with our capacity and his expectation concerning us as the ecclesia. Right? He mentions two possibilities. We'll take time to study. Then he reveals the golden principle. Now, what I'm delving into is related to our function, because I've jumped the investigation. We were to conduct an investigation, I jumped it. It will create much sorrow. So I saw that since we are normally sorrowful in the evening, we will avoid that investigation. The inference would have been quite sorrowful, quite sobering. I felt it would not be good for an evening lecture. We'll go for a morning, but not an evening. So we jump. Now we entered into legislative functions. Now we're going to take time to build it, trusting God to help us in the name of Jesus Christ. Maybe, let me start. Let me leave here. Let me take you somewhere first. No, we can't go there. if we start there, all right. Can we do a refresher course before we come to this matter? Just a refresher course. You know it too. I just want to remind you of it. In this refresher course, I want to show us. We'll do the full course later. Not now. Later, some other time. But I want to show us, within the limits of my Bible study, I found out, based on investigation, 9 characteristics about the spirit realm. You know, hallelujah, 9. I found 9 characteristics about the spirit realm, the layer, the shape, the possibilities that abound in the realm. Now, no, I'm not going to show you the 9. I'm just telling you that something like that exists. Now, in view of the subject we want to explore, I may need to delve into that refresher course to give you 2 characteristics of the realm. 2. Those 2 will be required in building this matter. That's why I want to go there. Get what I'm talking about? Okay, the first point, let's go to the book of Genesis chapter 4. You know what I want to do. I want to discuss the spirit realm. 2 characteristics of the realm. Then we'll come back to scripture. Right? Genesis chapter 4 from verse 8. Genesis chapter 4 from verse 8. Maybe when next we come to Kaduna, we will do a full course on the subject, but I need to do ladies foundation so that we can proceed with background knowledge, with background insight. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. This was an event. Next verse. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? I want you to see the error in Cain's presentation. Cain did not understand that he was in court. He did not know that he was in court. And he did not understand the implication of blood. Blood. That thing called blood. Blood has utterance. Blood is a substance that has legislative value. years, you must have discovered that your bride price was paid by the blood of Jesus. The price that God paid in order to buy you back, redeem you from the effect of the original sin was blood. Blood that was shed. The blood of Jesus is the basis of the legalistic transaction that took place, which resulted in our redemption. Jesus did not die for the church. Jesus died for the whole world. The church happens to be the people among the people of the world that believe in the sacrifice of Jesus. By an act of the exercise of their faith, they appropriated unto themselves the things that grace was offering. Are you with me? Now, so, blood, but we don't have time to press into blood, to investigate blood from Scripture. But it is good for you to understand that it's a legislative instrument. In this Scripture, you will find out that the debt of Abel, the knowledge of the debt of Abel, was brought to the notice of the court of heaven by reason of his blood that the ground received. Now, stay with me. The error of Cain was that Cain did not understand that it was an immortal that was asking him a question. Cain felt it was a mortal that was bereaved of knowledge. And so he answered God as he will answer a mortal. He said, I know not, because he felt there was nobody there. Am I my brother's keeper? Well, the court of heaven gave him a feedback. Can we go to the next verse? And he said, what hast thou done? This additional insight. Are you with me? What was going on the first time that God asked him a question is cross-examination. It's a legal procedure in court. Now, the purpose, the objective of cross-examination is to see whether there is, maybe you have a valid defense, or whether your case has merit. And if you hire a good attorney, what makes him good, actually? It's in the field, the dexterity of cross-examination, that it can actually bring you good litigation. Hallelujah. So they were cross-examining the young man, and his response was such that he would answer a mortal. So in order to clear his doubts, additional insight was required. Now, this is the additional insight. What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from where? Now, I don't have time to work on that. But these are fundamentals. Fundamentals that we need to work with in order to understand how the realm operates. My emphasis is the realm. He said the blood, the ground that received thy brother's blood. That ground has created a public address system, and it has decided to cry, to amplify the utterance of that blood. And that utterance was so amplified that we received feedback from that utterance in the court of heaven. A legal procedure has been put in place on the account of the events that took place, which you thought nobody was aware of, but it has answered in the court of heaven. Are you with me? Now, there are a few things we can pick from this scripture. One of the things that we can pick is that the spirit realm, the shape, because you see, we are trying to use the eye view of several scriptures as vistas to peep into the shape of the spirit realm and that which is possible and that which the realm is capable of. Am I making sense? Good. One of the things we can detect from here is that the realm has legislative capacities.
The realm is legalistic. The realm is legislative. The guy thought that the action that he carried out, nobody saw him. There are no consequences. I've killed somebody. I'm the only one that knows. Nobody else will know. Meanwhile, court process was being initiated. Hallelujah. There was no physical witness, but there were infrastructures built into the earth realm that did not need anybody to advance the case in court. And two actors were mentioned in advancing the prayer to the court. Two actors. Which actors I don't intend to unveil. What is that? We have one of the actors there. We have blood and we have ground. Hey, the design of this physical realm.
Are you with me? It's in keeping with the legalistic and legislative nature of the invisible realm. Have you heard this word before? Coven. Coven. Witchcraft coven. I know you don't like that word. What's the meaning? Okay. Yeah, have you heard this word before? A curse. It's obvious you can't relate with coven. You are cursed. It's not in my dictionary. Where did you preach? Where did you get this one from? All right. Let's bring it home. Curse is in the Bible. Curse. What's the curse? It seems you are saying something. Okay, help me now. What is a curse?
A curse can be outside the will.
Is your voice cracked or it cracked suddenly? What's a curse?
A curse is a negative pronouncement.
Is that where it starts from? No, that's not where it starts from. Because the Bible, are you with me? You're not with me. That's not where it starts from. Because somebody is saying something. There's a lady. She has some insight. A curse begins with what? And the lady said, a curse begins with pronouncement. That's not true. If I meet you on the road and say, it will not be good for you, it won't happen. The curse does not begin with pronouncement. The curse begins with a violation, a trespass. Are you with me? Because the Bible says that the curse that is costless, you are coming now. You are coming. You are releasing the soberness. And so there must be a trespass. There must be an infringement. There must be a violation. And then when there is a violation, you take the case to a court of competent jurisdiction. Are you with me? The court will have to sit to come up with a verdict. It's when the court come up with a verdict that you can proclaim the verdict. And it will be binding. So that thing you call coven is actually a court. It seems you terribly hate that word. When witches meet at 2 a.m. in the morning, what they bring to the meeting are violations. They have a constitution, they have a legal system. But they are set up in that coven. Are you with me? And so they bring your violation to the coven. And then they judge it and say, yes, this one, sickness. So the person that felt that you violated him now comes to you. That's when the proclamation comes. Now, the reason why, are you with me? You don't like this, my talk. Whether you don't like it, some of you are under curses, but you don't like it. Okay, let me leave you. I was going to a lady, but let's leave it at Bible study. Bible study level. Now, so that's when the proclamation now comes, when the court of competent jurisdiction has come up with a verdict concerning the matter. The reason why witches can have those kind of court systems, where they can proclaim, pronounce court curses on cities, on families, on individuals, is because the realm of the spirit accommodates legislation and legality. See, the witches did not create those possibilities. They were there by design of God. But maybe witches take advantage of it much more than believers do. But that is not God's business. Huh? Is it God's problem? Is it God's fault? So when you see a curse, find expression upon a person's life, it can never exist outside of some form of court system. There must be a court system. That's why that's where the authority comes from. Exactly. That's the first point. First thing about the realm of the spirit. It is legalistic and it is legislative. You can make proclamations that have been arrived at in court. And it will be binding. We can decide as Congress people to change things using the power of our court system. All of these are possibilities because of the shape of the realm. Second thing I need to say about the realm, quickly. I think we'll get a bearing for that in the book of Colossians chapter 1 verse 16. The next time we come, sorry. Stay. Don't go to Colossians first. Let's press on this matter. Huh? Can we press on that matter? Okay, technical man, can you help me move to Isaiah chapter 49, verse 24? Still on the subject. If by any means God wills, and we meet on a day that the present revelation position of the Spirit has to do with this subject, then we will thoroughly go into it. Then you will see what I'm talking about. Then you see why the average Christian is a victim. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. When you go into a particular place to do missionary work, I met a friend of mine yesterday after many years, and I was excited. And he told me about the burden he has about a place to take missionary initiative to that place. That's a good intention, especially if God is sending you. And if God is not sending you, go and sit down. Are you with me? You know why I said that? Somebody said, don't you want souls to be saved? Souls will be saved, but your own life will not be saved. Why? Because when you begin to do legal business in that territory, the contrary court system will try to find out, to verify the authority from whence you operate. They want to find out who sent you, whether you are known in the place from whence you came, and in the order of priesthood that you came to represent, are you known? Paul, we know. Jesus, your identity is in doubt. So that might become a disadvantage, a factor in your authority position within the territory. Hallelujah. You are becoming afraid. The soberness is... I'm just telling you how the thing works. But if it will produce so much soberness, we'll just stop it at number one. We'll not look at number two again, so that you will not fall down in the service.
Now, in the book of Isaiah chapter 49 verse 24, the Bible says, shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? You know, one question is asked in two ways. That's what's happening there. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty? That's the or, which means another way to ask the question is, shall the lawful captive be delivered? You get it? Why is the captor in this case called mighty? Is he mighty because of stature? Mighty because of rank? Is he mighty because of capacity? None of the above. He's mighty because the kind of bondage he brings is legal bondage. There are two kinds of warfare. The kind of warfare that we can prosecute on the battlefield. There's another kind of warfare that we prosecute in court. The battles of the court are more grievous battles than the one on the battlefield. Because if you are going to the battlefield and you have committed an infringement against the legal system, you have no backing on the field. So let's go back to court and solve this problem. Shall the prey, are you with me, be taken from the mighty? Notice that Isaiah didn't answer this question. It's just like when God came to Ezekiel and told Ezekiel, son of man, can these bones live again? Notice the guy had no answer, so he turned the question back to God. This is a kind of case too. The prophet did not answer. No, he didn't even attempt responding. He waited in silence until God came under pressure to provide the answer to the question he asked. Next verse. But thus said the Lord. You know, the question was posed. I was expecting the prophet to give maybe an answer. Then God would say, you didn't get it right. He didn't even have an opinion on the matter. So God had to come now to answer the same question that was set forth in the first place. You know why the prophet didn't have an opinion, have an answer? He has seen experientially people that were under the bondage of the devil. There was no hope for them. So, the prophet had no answer to provide. It was God now that brought insight. Now, the context here is legalities. Are you with me? And I'm going into this depth because just in an attempt to show us the shape of the spirit realm. And I said within the limits of my Bible study, I found 9 things about the realm. If you don't know the realm, you can't operate there. Sorry. You need to know the realm and know the possibilities. Know what is obtainable. Know what you can achieve. It's achievable. Given the potentials of that landscape. And one of the reasons why we need to be doing Bible study again and again is to update your knowledge software. It can enhance your performance and give you flexibility once you know how the scope, the shape, looks like. Thus saith the Lord, even the captive of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. Now, how will God do it? First of all, he said, I will contend with him that contended with thee. Now, you need to understand the premise. This type of contention is not battlefield contention, it's contention in court. Now, what we are talking about here is what we call the warfare of thrones. There is a way thrones and authorities in their own respect, there's a way they contend. Are you with me? Okay, you are not with me. You notice the battle between David and Goliath. The battle between David and Goliath was a spiritual battle. Because even though Goliath was equipped with good weapons, he did not come against David with weapons. He came against David in the name of his God and cursed him from that standpoint. He took the battle into the supernatural. And David now said, you come against me with
sword and shield. But I come against you in the name of the Lord of hosts, Jehovah Sabaoth, whose armies you have defied. And so the battle was taken from the natural into the supernatural. So when the thrones fought, it took the foolishness of catapult to end the battle in the natural. See? Now, you see, the real thing that took place did not happen. You are not with me. Those are people that understand legalities. You might, in the natural, you might see that somebody is outnumbered and you think it's disadvantage. You are not seeing properly. You are not seeing where he's standing in the spirit realm. You are not seeing the legalities that support him. You are not seeing the sacrifices, the advantages that he has where he's standing. So you are afraid for him. Sometimes the effect of great battles in the natural is a foolish thing. And you will think that that thing that happened was natural. See, in witchcraft, there are many ways to kill people. Somebody can be killed in witchcraft and he will still live for 3 days. And I tell you by experience. Because I've met the place where God has called me to serve is a land whose civilization derives from witchcraft. So I've met strange cases. And through experience, I began to understand some things. May the Lord give you understanding. So when that guy is killed in the spirit, it doesn't matter how he dies in the natural. It can be by somebody, maybe a mortar fell upon him. One stupid thing like that. One trailer passes and he makes noise. Then he falls down and dies. Then you think that there was something that... No. It's overhead. God said, the way I will take away the prey of the mighty is that I will contend. I will contend. If I had time, I would have taken you to the book of Zechariah chapter 3 and show you this contention. This war. And the war of which I speak is not a war of brute strength. It's a war of legal advantages. It's a war of justice, a war of judgment, and a war of equity. God himself being the umpire, who is the custodian of the just scales of judgment in the spirit. This kind of war is a war of legalities. After the fall of man, God... Let me stop there. You have understood what I'm trying to say. I will contend with him that contended with thee. And I will save thy children. The reason why I added that one, save thy children, is because spiritual transactions take generations to come. I know you know that, so there's no need for me to show you from Hebrews chapter 7. So I know you know that. No need. It implicates the destinies of generations to come. And so when the Bible says that Jesus Christ saves to the uttermost, the handwritings that were against us, that could malign us, that liabilities that were not in our favor, were captured in all of the legal statements that God made through Jesus Christ on the cross. However, you must understand that because you are legally positioned in a place of advantage, does not directly mean liberty. You can still be in bondage when you have been discharged and acquitted. Because if you notice, there's something wrong with our legal system in the spirit. The only thing that is wrong is the law enforcement agent. Even though you were in the dock, now that you have been liberated by a verdict from God, you have now put on police uniform to become a law enforcement agent. If you are not ready to fight for the verdict that you receive in order to implement it, you can stay in bondage, even though you are at liberty. And so when you are fighting this kind of war, you fight armed with legal facts. Current verdict. Supreme Court verdict that came. Current. That's how we fight. It's a legal war. Because that's how the shape of the realm is. And if by any means you have to contend with an ezemo, let me tell you, if don't contend, but if you have a reason to contend, this is how you contend. Don't wake up and go and contend until you are led. Or maybe you are doing your own crusade. He now came to confront you. You can't escape that contention. I hope you will not be in that situation. So let's leave that one too. So that's number one. Come back to the Bible. Having said this, we can migrate to our Bible study, our subject of study, which is Matthew chapter 18. Hallelujah. You're holding crusade. And Ezemo decides to come with his pot, doing incantation. He has committed trespass, but you don't know. He wants to intimidate you so that you will not know that you are within right. You will notice that David, when they took his sheep, he went and collected the sheep, left the wild animal, and was about to go. Wild animal now got angry to attack David. David killed him. We don't kill people, but we only kill the ones that commit trespass. Understand that? Don't kill people. So the fall down and die thing is not Christian. We only kill the ones that what? So when on my own crusade ground, you have been doing these emotions. Nobody came to contend with you. Now I'm doing crusade. You want to? We kill those ones. There's a way to kill human beings. I know you don't like eating Kaduna. Don't like that. So let me leave you. We will kill. Some people are like Elijah. The anointing kills. Even till today, he kills. I know you want to believe that God doesn't fight again. He has finished fighting. No problem. Some of us, we kill people. But there is a legality through which that is righteous for you to do. If you understand the law, the constitution very well. Well, when we come for the real lecture on the possibilities of the spirit realm, then I will show you what to do. The things that warrant that this one now has trespassed enough for him to be cut off. Alright. So let's go back. Matthew chapter what? Yeah, thank you. Now, let's go gently. Verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. That's one. Whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. That's two. Next verse. Again, that means in addition to that, Jesus is showing us possibilities that are bound to us. Possibilities that what? These are possibilities. If Jesus had not said them, we would not have known that they exist. Are you with me? If Jesus did not reveal this, you and me won't know. So Jesus is revealing this so that we can take advantage of those possibilities in the realm of the Spirit. A lot of Christians are born again, but they are not taking advantage of possibilities. And it is not God's fault. If you were supposed to take advantage of a possibility in order to deliver your family from something, and you refuse to take advantage, probably because you don't know, it's not God's fault. You already made the provision. You decided not to know the constitution, and you are suffering marginalization. You are suffering all kinds of stuff. It's not God's fault. Not God's fault. So he's now taking time to reveal unto us the possibilities that we have. The first possibility is that, go back. Let's analyze that first possibility. Technical man, go back. Now, we can deduce some things from this possibility. The first thing you need to see there is that the earth regulates heaven in this context. He didn't say whatsoever you bind in heaven will be bound on earth. Rather, he said, what? So earth regulates heaven. You will notice in the book of Genesis chapter 28, when Jacob stumbled upon that vision and he saw the ladder, angels were not descending and ascending. Angels were ascending and descending. It was the earth realm that facilitated that migration. Are you still with me? You are not with me. Is it entering or you are just sober? Are you sober because the revelation is entering? It's entering somehow. Or is there a question? There's a question. If there's a question you can ask, I want you to understand. That's why we came. We didn't come here to bamboozle you with our jargons. No. God is saying that the church in this territory will have to step up higher. The church in this region has been encompassing a particular mountain cyclically and not making spiritual advancement that is required for the days, the responsibilities in the days to come. And so, we came to add a little to what is in the territory so that some functionaries can begin to operate according to understanding of the possibilities available to them in God. Right? Now, first of all, we have said that the earth controls, regulates what? God may have an intention to prosecute, and God will not do what he wants to do until a man desires what he wants to do. Unfortunately, earth regulates heaven. You see, the Bible says that the heavens, even the heavens, belong to God. The Bible says that the earth has given unto the sons of men. Are you with me? So God will not do it until a man desires it. In heaven it is settled, but on earth it cannot find expression until a man desires it and aligns towards it and begins to take spiritual steps in order for him to create the legality for God to invade this realm. That's how it works. It's a legal realm. So God is bound by the very laws that he has set up in the realm. Can God do everything? Yes, he can do everything. But God is not lawless. The Bible says that he has exalted his word above his name. So if God utters a decree, he himself is subject to the utterance. And that scripture is a royal decree that God himself cannot break. The earth has he given unto the sons of men. Prayer is earthly permission for heavenly interference. Earth regulates heaven. I don't have time to build that to show you the concept of the harmonious way. And I use Moses as an example. Moses on the mountaintop, when he lifted up his hands, Israel will win. If he brings it down, Israel begin to lose. The matter was already settled in heaven. In heaven it was settled. But before men, the battle was regulated by Moses. Okay, let's leave that. It's already settled in heaven, but before men is what? If he raises his hand, they will win. If he gets tired, drops it, they'll begin to lose. That's not a time for night vision. That's a time to look for how Moses' hand can be up. You don't walk against the realm. You study the realm and walk in alignment with his possibilities. A lot of us like doing things, like when you begin to pray in tongues, probably for about 45 minutes, praying in tongues. And then you see the Holy Ghost in your spirit is singing. You will feel that it is spiritual for you to continue praying in tongues. You are in the flesh. The Holy Spirit has moved, but you are so, you move along. You don't know the way. He's the navigator. You don't know the way into the realm of the Spirit. The realm of the Spirit is like a wilderness. If you arrive there without a navigator, you are likely to come back with demonic symptoms. Oh, you are laughing. You think that thing I said is for laughter? Have you not seen people that fasted and came down with psychiatric symptoms? What happened? Okay, I won't go further. I will leave you with your laughter. I will leave you with your laughter.
Because you laugh, I won't tell you what I found. It took me 21 years to find it. I think you will need 21 years to discover what happened and how to help people in that condition. Why does it? Oh, leave that. Let's go back to the scripture. At least this one you will not laugh. Verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth. We have some new terminologies here that I need to begin to unravel. The first terminology is bind. Now, this word bind, there are many scriptures that speak about binding devils. Abi? Bind devils. And many of us think that this particular scripture is not talking about binding devils. This scripture is actually talking about... Let me click on the lexicon and read it directly through linguistic investigation. Bind here talks about putting under obligation of law. Putting under obligation of law. Putting under obligation of law. Right? Loose here means releasing from under obligation of law. I will explain all these factors. So, we can go to the next verse now. Next verse. He said, again I say. That means Jesus is unveiling another possibility. First possibility is the possibility of putting under obligation of law on earth, and you establish the same obligations of law in the spirit. You'll be accepted. You can dissolve laws too in heaven to be dissolved. And Jesus has not yet told us why this is possible. Somewhere along the line in this rendering, you will find out, it will reveal why these things are possible. But for now, he's discussing the possibilities that exist in the realm. Am I okay? And these possibilities are legal possibilities, which are standing on the foundation of the first item we identified that is possible within the scope of the realm. If you are still with me, say amen. Oh my. There's so much for us to cover. So much for us to cover. And we will do practical on this matter. If it is true. Yes, if it is true. But, yeah, if it's true, we'll do some practical. And then we'll listen to the news and see if you will not have a feedback. From here, we can... Hey! Amaye Kobina Silamo. We refuse to, we build fellowships instead of government. We build synagogue instead of ecclesia. Meanwhile, that's not a model. The model is government, not fellowship. The model is a legislative company, congressmen, not a congregation. An assembly is different from a gathering. May the Lord give you understanding. All right. Jesus now is showing the second possibility. Hallelujah. We will do something. Okay. No. Not here. Somewhere. We'll do something somewhere. Maybe towards the end of this year. And then we will watch and see what will happen. If it is true, if we operate according to prescription, we will see the validity of what Jesus said. Jesus said, again, I say unto you, that if two of you, now he brings the matter of quorum.
quorum. The first possibility that Jesus unveiled is a legal transaction. That's what it's called. Legal transaction. This possibility is, that one is legal business, legal contract. This legislative business. It's a contract that is binding. Number one, it's a contract that is binding under our constitution. And when you bring men under the obligation of that constitution, it is so adopted in heaven. This is legislative. In legislative business, you require a quorum. So number comes into focus in this particular context. And that is the reason why I told you that ecclesia exists only in the plural. Because it has to do with legal business. It is of legal implication. Are you still with me? So are you here? Right. So, this is Jesus again. Again, I say unto you, I have two of you. That means that in order for us to prosecute legal business as the ecclesia, you cannot do such as one person. You will need at least two or three. So, the basic unit for legislative business is two or three. Now, I need to tell us a little bit about quorum. Quorum, because there are many courts in heaven. Are you with me? There are many courts in heaven. And every court you are going to do legislative business, there is a stipulated quorum. But for fundamental and basic legislative business, you require two or three. Are you with me? Now, you will notice that in order for Pentecost to find expression. In order for Pentecost to find expression, the quorum, what was the quorum that was required to bring the Holy Ghost down from heaven? How many people were present on the day of Pentecost? 200 people. It took 200 people to bring the Holy Ghost, and that was the quorum, minimum quorum, for that kind of territorial escapade. For every territorial venture, there is a quorum required. There's a number of intercessors that must rise in Kaduna State in order for the bondage to break. If that quorum is not satisfied, there's a challenge. And one of the issues that is the move of God in the land is insufficient quorum. I know you will not understand what I'm saying. I will pull out another scripture to buttress this fact. Now, you remember the wedding at Cana of Galilee? Remember that wedding? You don't remember it. The way I'm seeing you people, in fact, I've been asking God to help us. The way I see it, when I say, you remember, somebody say, remember the wedding in Cana? Now, this wedding in Cana, Jesus, I hope you know Jesus doesn't lie. He doesn't have the nature to lie. He's not capable of lying. He cannot lie. Alright? Good. And then Jesus said, "Woman, my hour is not yet come." It means my time has not yet come. My season has not yet what? How was Jesus able to do the miracle if his season had not yet come? So you don't ask yourself questions. What I'm trying to... technical man. Can you help me with that wedding of Cana? Let's investigate it. Do I have... All right. Where is the technical man? Quorum. The first thing, you know, the other place we saw what it means to bind, what it means to lose. We saw that earth regulates heaven and not otherwise. Here, the first thing we are seeing is quorum. Now, Samson, you want to go to Europe? Let me tell you something. The first thing you will encounter. The first thing you will encounter, your first difficulty. I know you are anointed, you are a prayer man. First difficulty is that you have lack of quorum. And because you have lack of quorum, your own operation as a congressman alone will not be able to turn the tide of Jerusalem, turn the tide of London. So the first challenge is for you to raise intercessors first. And until the quorum is fulfilled, forget about your revival. Kaduna dies because we have no quorum. The quorum of singers is even too much. They need to cut it off. Everybody is a singer. But you see, this singing, legislative business is not singing. That's why the land will still remain like that. Sing! Wake up. If the chapter we open, quorum must be satisfied. And it took 200 men to bring the Holy Ghost out of heaven. 200 legislators. It still took 200 people after Solomon had built a temple. For the presence of God to be invoked into the temple, there had to be 200 ministers. These are matters of quorum. I don't have time to show you structural alignment in the book of Acts. Acts is a book of numbers. But no time to show you the multiplications and the divisions. Everything there is mathematical. To show you that it's not a mistake, it's quorum matter. If God doesn't find the quorum, the revival doesn't open to the next chapter. We will live and die by the riverside. Meanwhile, that's not our destiny. We are destined for the promised land. But we will die at the river. The technical man has flashed the scripture. Can we digress and consult with that scripture? If you are still here, say amen. Let's consult. Why in John chapter 2, verse 1. And the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said unto her, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? My hour is not yet come." There are many things here which we will ignore so that we can pick the matter of interest. Next verse. Next verse. His mother said unto the servants, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." Next verse. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purification of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 feckings apiece. Now, does 2 or 3 register anything in your head? I'm coming. That's where I'm going. The water pots had hallelujah. Quorum. These are quorum matters. And the reason why Jesus said that my time had not yet come was because the quorum was not yet satisfied. As long as the quorum is not satisfied, Jesus' time has not yet come. Yes. The moment the quorum is in place, you will say, "Oh yeah, take water, fetch, and give to the governor of the feast." His time has come. His time was not in the same day. His time came the same day. What changed? Quorum. Go back to our scripture. Go back. I don't want to touch it. It will take us too far. This scripture is even more sweet than the one that we started with. This one. This John. There are strange things. Yes, strange things. But you see, if we dwell there, we will digress from our subject matter. Are you glory?
Amen.
So Jesus now said, yes, next verse. Because it's the second principle, the second possibility that carries the requirement of quorum. If two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they may ask, it shall be done of my Father which is in heaven. Now, here too, you see that earth regulates heaven. And then in this particular business, the requirement of quorum is captured. Is that clear? The first one is binding contracts based on the constitution. And then the second one is legislative business based on quorum. Now, the next verse, which is verse 20, is actually where I'm going. Verse 20 tells us the reason why verse 18 and 19 are possible. This is Jesus. I said that if Jesus had not told us that these things were possibilities, we wouldn't have known. He told us that we can do this, told us that we can do that, and then he did not stop there. He now told us in verse 20, why 18 and 19 is possible. Is that clear? I say, is that clear? Now, what we would have done, but it would have been difficult for you to comprehend, is that we would have read 20 first. And established it as the principle upon which 19 will work, 18 will work. That was the procedure. But if I take it that way, you say, hey, I'm confusing you. People don't read Bible from 20, then join to 18. Kaduna people will not accept. So I say, okay, let's follow it the normal way. Meanwhile, the reason why 18 and 19 is possible is because of the provision of 20. 20 is the principle. And then the application is in 18 and 19. Is that clear? Alright, so let's look at 20. 20 is where I've been struggling since to reach. Ha! Thank God we have reached 20. Now let's start this job. This is a principle upon which 18 and 19 is based. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. For where two or three, because that word for there means because. Because where two or three are gathered in my name, I, an immortal, comes into their midst to animate their gathering. I give them my presence, becomes the animator of their gathering. It is my presence that gives their gathering the capacity that makes their gathering to have authority to affect heaven. You see, in legislative business, how many of you have visited the Senate in Abuja? Don't be ashamed now. Have you entered into the chamber? Didn't enter the chamber. The red chamber. Right. Have you seen the maze? The maze. What number of senators will satisfy the quorum in the Constitution? I know the equation. I mean number, not a fraction. Number. Is what? People are talking, they are not talking. No. If this thing, they are not saying anything. So we don't have any political scientists that can come to our rescue. 109, that's the number of senators we have. 2/3 majority. What's 2/3 of 109? Jesus. The Lord will give us understanding. Jesus said, for where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Let's break this scripture down. First of all, the first thing we see here is the quorum factor, two or three. The second thing we see here is the gathering factor. Now, the gathering factor. Because the Bible says gathered together. People can be gathered, but not together. They are gathered, not together. If we are gathered, but we are not together, you have violated the provision of this clause. So, let us start with gathered together. Gathered in one accord. So, the thing that is making us gather, the thing that is the subject of our gathering, is a thing that pertains to the kingdom of God. We must be persuaded that that thing is required, each and every one of us, in that fold. Because the problem of this legislative system is when we have somebody in the gang that is not together with us. That's a problem we can have in this system. And that's the reason why in every prayer group, once upon a time, God comes to purge the prayer group of strange people that are together but not gathering. Or gathering but not together. He purges the group. So purging takes place once and again. If it's a people that are playing a legislative role, they are subject to purging. So that people that are gathered, that are not together with us in the spirit of what we are requesting for, He will shed them out. He will create burdens for them. They will need to attend to those burdens and give us space so that our corporate ranking can be high. So let me digress and tell us about gathering in His name. Gathering where? Proverbs chapter 18. Technical man, can you give me Proverbs chapter 18 verse 10? Proverbs chapter 18 verse 10. Now, look at this. Look at this. If we check our parent scripture, which speaks about gathering in His name, I'd like us to open it up a little so that we can understand the implication. First of all, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth therein and is safe. According to this scripture, the name of Jesus is a location. Don't forget to. It's what? It's a location in the spirit. We have to arrive at that location in order for us to be able to, congregationally, in order for us to be able to do legislative business, we must arrive at a place in the spirit called the name of Jesus. I know you don't believe. Cool down. Let's bring more scriptures to confirm it. First of all, the name of Jesus is a location. And so the Bible says the name of the Lord. Say what? And then the righteous do what? It means the righteous was in a place that is not the name of Jesus. He now runs into a place that is the name of Jesus. And then he is now saved. The name of Jesus is a location in the spirit. Now, we will have to migrate to that location today. Are you with me? We are not capable of any form of legislative business if we have not arrived at that location. That's what I'm saying. And unfortunately, that location is a place where, in the spirit. Don't forget that. We'll soon talk about gathering. Because in gathering, your individualism is lost in gathering. Now, what I am and what you are and what we are, me plus you, what we are capable of, is not what we are capable of in gathering. When we gather, our corporate competence is 10,000. When they add me and you, we are 1,000 plus 1,000. I will explain that. You are not with me. You know, the Bible says one shall chase 1,000. Two shall put it by gathering. That multiplier factor only comes into manifestation when we gather. So our me now added to you is not the outcome of what will be obtainable when we gather. When we gather, there's a multiplier implication. So we must know how to gather. If we don't gather properly, we are still individuals. Because Saul did not understand the mystery of gathering, when they came back from war and the women sang and say Saul has killed his 1,000 and David killed his 10,000, Saul began to fight with David, but he never knew that it was his own 1,000 plus David's 1,000 that produced 10,000. He never knew that because he didn't understand the technology of gathering. He didn't know gathering. There's a technology through which witches can compound their power. God is showing us how believers can compound their power, their capacity. We do that by gathering. There's something called gathering. Well, we have not reached there. Let's go back. The name of are you with me? The name of Jesus is a location in the spirit. Bible says that the righteous, they run into the name, and one of the guarantees you find is that you are safe. That means there's a protective guard for you when you are doing legislative business. People cannot break into the Senate house and plunder it because you are under the protection of the name, the environment. You are safe there. Second scripture to confirm that the name is a place. Second scripture will be Philippians. I hope you are not tired with Bible study. We are trying to update our software. The software seems to be obsolete. Many updates were published. You were not aware. So now we are doing hyper download to jack the team back. All right, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even death of the cross. Wherefore, I want to go slowly now. Wherefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Next verse. That what? You know, many of us read this scripture, we say, at the mention, there's no mention there. It's at the name, that is, at that location, called the name. I say, it's a location. Not, but you quote quick, you say, at the mention. You have been adding mention there. It's not there. I'm just showing you now that there is nothing like mention there. It's at the name, a location. So So there are several things that are not possible except act. That's where every knee bows. That's where every tongue confesses. Where? It is where? Act. The name. So we have established that. The location. There are several things that will not be possible anywhere except act. The name. It is a place in the spirit, and we must understand how to migrate there. What transforms us from synagogue to ecclesia is the ability to migrate to where the name is. If we lack the skills of migration, all we are is synagogue. At the name of Jesus. Location. Second thing about the name. Go back to our parent scripture. Yes, any question about that? Somebody is confused? Yeah. You say I'm manipulating some things there. Or you have seen what I'm showing you? It's a location. Not at the mention, but at the name. At the name. It's only possible at the name. That's where things bow. So if we as the ecclesia do not have the capacity to migrate into the name, we will not be able to find our legislative powers. The Bible says that this righteous man, he has found a skill of running into the name of Jesus, which is a strong power. He has a skill. He has found it. That is where he finds the initial blessings he begins to enjoy in that location is that he's safe. Second thing. Let's go back to our scripture. Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. And strike a chord again. For where two or three are gathered in my name. In the Greek, the word name there is onoma. You can check it in your lexicon right now. Onoma. Onoma means authority. Are you with me? So that place called the name is a place where we are under his authority. You see, a service can hold. Are you with me? Oh my, you're not with me. A service can hold. A Sunday service can hold, which is a wonderful thing. Alright? And the service held, and Jesus was never consulted. The order of service was developed. There was no prayer to find out what Jesus wanted to do in the service. And it was done without the input of Jesus. That is synagogue. But if you are going to migrate into Onoma, in Onoma, you don't call the shots. Jesus calls the shots. And you only operate under his authority. Hallelujah. If we are running a prayer group, for instance, and we are expecting to operate under Jesus' authority, we don't come there with an agenda. In fact, the one that is supposed to lead the prayer, we first consult with Jesus. What direction do you want to go? We consult with Jesus 2 days before the prayer, and Jesus will give him a hint. He will not disclose everything. That hint will be the passcode that Jesus will require from him for him to enter into the present revelation position of that prayer. Jesus will superintend the entire protocol and process. So that place called the name is a place that is governed by the authority of Jesus. As long as we can operate outside of the authority of Jesus, we are not powerful. The authority of Jesus, are you with me? Is the House of Senate where we do legislative matters. A senator is weak in his village. You can accost him in the village. He's not powerful. But when he migrates into that place where there's red carpet, in fact, it's not safe until he runs into that place. When he runs into that place, he's undercover. That's how the arrangement is. Are you still with me? Alright. So the name of the Lord Jesus is what? So operating in the name of the Lord Jesus is operating in his onoma, which is his authority. He calls the shots. He decides the direction. He uses the infrastructure to achieve his own purposes. It is all about what he wants to achieve, not about our agendas, not about our wisdom, but about his own agenda, about his own wisdom. So what operates, what is obtainable in that location is his own agenda. Is that clear? That's the second definition of the name. Now, we must understand that legislative business can only take place when we enter into that place in the spirit that is called what? The name. And in that place, his authority is visible. And everybody is willing to subscribe to that authority. Are you with me? Now, the first thing I've established here is that that name is the perimeter. It's a perimeter. It's a place and a perimeter. Secondly, Jesus said that where two or three are gathered in my name, then my presence comes into the midst of them. According to that scripture, just like we said, the name is a location in the spirit. For the name of the Lord is a strong tower, righteous run it. Where? Therein, a location in the spirit, and they are safe. So the name is a perimeter and a place. That's number one. The name is a place where the authority of Jesus is evident. And when you arrive at that place, you are willing in your heart to be submissive to his authority. That's number two. The Bible says that when you satisfy these two requirements, that the presence of Jesus through his spirit comes to animate our gathering. That's the supernatural aspect. That is the maze in our legislative house. It's the presence of Jesus that comes to animate our gathering. It gives our gathering life. It's on the strength of that immortal life that comes into our gathering that we are capable of prosecuting legislative business. Exactly. You get that? Now, so if by any means we are gathered and that presence doesn't come to animate us, we can't do legislative business. We are synagogue, we are not ecclesia. Because when ecclesia switches on, legislative business must take place. So the name is the perimeter. And his presence is the animator. If we come into that perimeter, each and every one of us functions by the authority of Jesus. What the spirit of Jesus prescribes. And then the presence of Jesus becomes the life of that gathering. When these requirements are fulfilled, then verse 18 is possible. We can bind something on earth. It will be bound in heaven. Two or three can gather and agree as touching a particular matter that we ask, and it will be done of his heavenly Father, because his presence comes to animate our gathering and to give us, make it legislation capital. Exactly. Did you get it? Now let me use one scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 to give us an example of what I'm talking about. If you forget anything I taught today, don't forget that the name of Jesus is a location. I hope you saw the scriptures with which we established that fact. It's a location. We can begin to pray as a congregation. I'm the one leading the prayer. And we are praying. And we are praying. And we are praying. And we are praying. The prayer continues. The point at which we have reached that location is the point where Jesus begins to give me direction for our gathering. Me that is leading the prayer. If Jesus is giving me direction for the prayer, it means we have entered into that perimeter. We can do legislative business. If there is no direction for the meeting, sometimes we have prayed for 2 hours, there was no direction. It means in our gravitation, migration towards that place that is a strong tower, which the name is, we have not yet arrived. So legislative business cannot take place. Anything you do outside of that perimeter is in the flesh. Exactly. Alright, let's do 1 Corinthians chapter 5. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, I want to show you a practical example of where this legislative power was exercised. It will be needful for me to show us the background. Yes, this is the scripture, but you need to go to verse 1 so that we can check the background. But also follow the progression of revelation and understand what exactly is happening within the context. If you are still with me, say amen. All right. Now, this is the context. Verse 1. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. Go on. And ye are puffed up, and ye have not rather mourned, that he that has done this deed might be taken away from among you. Next verse. This is the procedure. The guy has been fornicating with one of his father's wives. Seems the father has many wives because they didn't call the person his mother, the father's wife. So probably the father has many wives and he has uncovered one of them. And instead of the guy to mourn about his condition, instead of him to cry about his condition, he was puffed up. Paul now said, all right. For verily, as absent in the body but present in the spirit, I have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that has so done this deed. He now gives us the recommendation. This is the ecclesia. I would like us to see the elements that are collocated. There is a collocation that is taking place in that scripture, which I would like us to due diligence to take notice of. The elements that are collocated, the things that must gather together before we can do legislative business. The maze must be set in its proper place before we can begin to do legislation. And this is what he said. This is Paul. He said, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when he gathered together. The first thing is that this thing cannot take place until we have arrived at that location. Called what? If we have not yet arrived that location called the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, forget about this matter. Anything we do will not work. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when he gathered together, Paul said that in such a gathering, in that place called the name of Jesus, when you arrive there, one of the things you will meet there is my spirit. My spirit will be present there. I am the spiritual covering of this fellowship. And so when you arrive there, the anointing that gives me capacity to prosecute this calling will be present in that domain called the name of Jesus. Now, so you arrive at the place called the name, and then when you arrive at that place, you will meet a lot of factors co-locating. My spirit will be present there. Huh? Number 3, the power of Jesus will come to animate your gathering. You get that? That was the promise that Jesus gave us in the book of Matthew, chapter 18, verse 20. That where two or three are gathered in my own number, under my authority, in the location that is called my name, my presence will be in the midst. Now, can we see the items co-located? We locate the place called the name. In that place called the name, the spirit of Paul is present there as witness. in that spiritual location called the name, at the point where the power of Jesus comes in, then legislative business can begin. That power of the Lord Jesus is the maze that animates our gathering and gives us legislative capacity. He said it, next verse. When all these things have happened, that is when we can deliver such a brother to Satan. That's legislative business. What? I know you don't like this scripture, but it's in the Bible. You deliver such a brother to Satan for the destruction of what? The flesh, that the spirit might be saved the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. I need to explain that. This is supposed to be excommunication. And the purpose of excommunication is redemption. But the act of excommunication must be done by the legislative powers of the church. And the legislative powers of the church cannot be exercised except we arrive at the location called the name. Then collocations begin to take place. The last among the collocations that take place is that the power of Jesus Christ comes in to make the gathering life. So the congressmen have gathered properly. That's why the spirit of Jesus comes into the camp. And then we turn and say, that brother, we have delivered you unto Satan. From that day, what will happen is that the guy's covering is released. It's taken. Now I need to explain something about spiritual covering finally before I close, so that we can pray together. In the book of Job, when God spoke about the covering that Job had, he gave us some details. When Satan came to heaven to bring testimony about Job, God set Job up by asking Satan a question. Have you considered my servant Job? Notice that Satan did not need to go back into the earth to bring his fire, to read out his gatherings about Job. He spoke directly from there. Say, my business has been to go up and down, to and fro the earth. Many times I've stumbled upon Job. I have his details. Is it not you that have made a hedge around him? Is it not you that has made a hedge around all he has? Now, there are three layers of a spiritual hedge. Hallelujah. First layer is a circle that covers everything he has. That includes his children, his property, his vehicle, everything. Second layer covers his health. Third layer covers his life. It's not sickness that kills, it's death that kills. You will notice that in the book of Job, Satan went to seek occasion for God to slack his covering so that he can be tested. And God said, you can touch every other thing, can touch even his health, but do not touch his life. You see, the hedge around his life was still intact. Oh my God. Okay. You are not understanding me. I'm just teaching you how to, the education you need to know when the devil is working. Alright? Now, if you notice the operation of the devil, there are two things you need to do. The first thing you need to do is to establish a group. That kind of business, don't do it alone. Get a partner. Fulfill the basic requirement of legislation, because the instruction is where two. Where what? Or as a minimum requirement for a quorum. And it happens to be that we have more than what it takes in this number to establish a quorum. Just like I said, in every form of spiritual transaction, there is a quorum required. The basic unit of quorum is two or three. But for territorial issues, the quorum is larger. For national issues, the quorum must be larger. That's how it happened. And always remember that it took 200 men. That was the quorum that was required to bring the Holy Ghost down from heaven. The quorum is not satisfied. The purpose of God does not go into the next level. where we encamp about a particular spot, there is no authority to move on in the agenda of God. So even if your property comes into harm, you know, sometimes your vehicle has an accident, but you come out without a scratch. It's because in order for that to happen, the first layer of covering was affected. Sometimes, based on the politics that is taking place in the spirit and some of the trespasses you have committed, that level of clearance is given to the devil. But you see, there is a definitive extent to which the devil can plunder. Hallelujah. But if you notice that even as much as your property was touched, it means there's something wrong. If the thing is wrong with you, you have gone out of alignment, seek true restitution to go back into alignment. If you can achieve that, but these are forum matters. So if you are here and you don't have a quorum partner, it means you have not been operating as a legislator for a very long time. The red chamber, the Senate hall has not had your presence. You have not mattered in the issue that concerns the civilization of the territory for a very long time if you have not seen a need to have a partner in quorum business. Every time an encroachment takes place in your space and part of your territory is compromised, it is an indicator that the congressman has arrived. You hear of Boko Haram and it enters into the territory. The territorial quorum must have to revisit the legislative chamber. They must go and locate the name of the Lord Jesus. That's how it is done. They are keepers of territories. They are keepers of clans, keepers of tribes, keepers of families, keepers of nations. And in all of these respects, a quorum that is consistent with the requirement must be put in place to drive the agenda of God. The church is not powerless. If we don't put our legislative capacities to work, let us not complain that the land is bedeviled. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm right there in the midst of them. I don't have time to take us to the book of Genesis chapter 28. That would have been the last scripture we would have had to read. In Genesis chapter 28, we would have seen the true definition of a territory. There are a lot of furnitures and infrastructures that exist in a territory. Jacob was running away from home and he stumbled upon a place called Luz. When he stumbled upon that place, I don't know, but he decided to take some stones to make pillows. Stone for pillows. I don't know what kind of stone. Well, that's what he did. But I don't know what kind of comfort he was expecting to derive a stone as pillow. And then he went to sleep. When he went to sleep, something happened. His spiritual senses were activated. And he saw the same territory, the same place where he was sleeping. In the natural, he saw that same place with the eye of the spirit. His spiritual senses being activated. Then he saw that there were infrastructure built into that territory that he could not see with his physical eye. One of the things he saw was an angelic band, an angelic movement. What he saw was a spirit city. And what makes a spirit city is, number one, a portal. A portal was the opening of priesthood. What kind of priesthood exists in that territory? You cannot know in the natural. You cannot know by administering a questionnaire. You can only know by seeing the territory from the realm of the spirit. Like if you have not seen Kaduna from the realm of the spirit before, you have no business in the politics of this place. That's why we had to define who a minister was initially. A star that is held in the constellations of God. You must be able to see your city from the realm of the spirit. He saw a spirit city. He saw a city. First of all, he saw a portal. That portal can either be angelic or demonic, depending on the priesthood that reigns in the territory. You must see the priesthood of the land. If you cannot see the priesthood of the land, you cannot change the land. Forget about changing it. Can't sit down. You need to have seen the territory. Seen what opening enters into the land. Is it angelic? It means that prior to that time, there was a righteous priesthood that was set in motion. In his own case, that was the same place where his grandfather opened a website unto God by raising an altar. In fact, it was one of the stones of that altar that he used for his pillow. A portal. Two, there's a traffic. In every territory, there's a traffic. There's a portal and opening that priesthood has created to make the spiritual realm accessible to the natural realm. It is a demonic priesthood that is created. It will open a demonic portal, making demons available to influence this realm. So if you have not seen Kaduna from that landscape, you don't even know what we are dealing with. Your prayers will be wrong. There is a portal, then there's a traffic. A traffic. Either of angels or demons. You must identify the traffic. You can't change London except you see the traffic of London. If you know the host of demons that you are contending with and what is responsible for their movement, in the case of Bethel, it was the altar that Abraham set up that was responsible for the traffic. Abraham had died, but the traffic remained. There's a traffic in your territory that is responsible for the shape, the subjugation, the nature of the attacks, the kind of dilemma within the scope of the landscape. Only men that have eyes aided by the visions of God that can speak on these matters. We must understand the quorum that can administer legislative help to the territory. It is a number. It must be known. Hallelujah. And number four, there is a ladder. Please don't be confused. According to biblical geography, the Bible reveals that heaven is above. Hell is beneath. That's not physical. That's spiritual geography. Because in elementary geography, you will find out that you were on the equator. Close to the equator, for instance. Ghana is on the equator. The Greenwich Meridian on the equator. From Ghana to London. Alright? If you say down now, what down will mean for you? Different from what somebody in Antarctica will call down. It's different from what somebody in South Africa will call beneath. So, that is spiritual geography. It's a heaven is above. Hell is what? Beneath. That's how much we know from scripture. And it happens to be that the ladder that was placed there connected earth to above heaven. That is not the only possible ladder that can exist. There can also be a ladder that connects hell to earth, depending on the priesthood. Oh, you are not with me. These are the four factors that determine whether people die in a territory or whether they survive. It is legislation, courtroom business, legalities that determine what rules within the territory. And what Jesus revealed to us in the book of Matthew, chapter 18, verse 18 to 20, is how the ecclesia can take advantage of courtroom situations to bind and to cast, to dissolve contracts, and to bring people under the obligation of decisions that the ecclesia has taken. Remember, the ecclesia is not a fellowship. is a government. Help me tell that to your neighbor. We are going to practice that. We are pressed for time. We can't practice it tomorrow. Maybe we'll try tomorrow. But okay. At least let's arrive that place called the name first. That spiritual location. Let's arrive there. Let's rise. Now, first and foremost, are you with me? First and foremost, when we are doing legislative business, each and every one of us must submit to the authority of the Christus, the Christ. It determines what will happen. That means what we'll do. It determines the direction that we take. And so we are going to seek to arrive at that place called the name. For the next 5 minutes, we are gaining ascendancy, praying in the spirit. Now, we are praying in the spirit, but our heart is heavily laden with an understanding. The prayer point that is on your heart is that, Lord, cause us to gain entrance to the perimeter. We want to arrive there. When we arrive there, it will be clear. Can we ask you, take us into that perimeter? It is written that the name of the Lord Jesus is a strong tower in the which the righteous must run in order for him to be saved. Take us into that perimeter. Olehe samahanta la bosa imetada. Ole salamanantoria sase na hendo samahanta la baboria. She baboria si mahasa hanet. She na hanamanta la bosa imetada. You see, we have arrived at this. The Lord tells me that in Kaduna, there is little insight about the territory. There's little insight about the territory. And when I began to press on him, he decided to show mercy. For I beheld an angel in the spirit carrying a lamp. And I began to ask what the lamp was about. He spoke, and he told me, It's a revelational gift. In fact, in this convocation tonight, there are three people here that God will give a very strong revelational gift. And it is not personalized, it's territorial. He will provide a window by His Spirit so that you can see the territory. You can see the territory. Now, spiritual alerts in form of territorial summons will come to people that have such a gift. Territorial summons. And the hand of God in the next 7 seconds will come upon three people. These three people will be given a gift, a territorial gift, territorial instrument. And territorial summons will be coming to these three individuals. The kind of intercessory ministry that God will grant them capacity to prosecute is a little bit beyond the scope of natural intercessory ministry that every believer is called into. These ones will be configured for territorial work, and the capacity that is coming upon them is to prepare them for territorial influence. And so they will have capacity through revelational knowledge to understand territorial alerts for summons. Summons. The Church of Jesus will have to develop to a point where her territorial shape can begin to find expression. where people can receive territorial anointing. Anointings that have capacity to shift things in the spirit within that territory. And anointings that can speak into that territory. Anointing that can change things within that territory. If you go outside of the territory, it will not work. But when you come back, it will work. That's the true shape of things, is territorial. We have prepared to build fellowships, not to build governments. And that's why some of these scriptures have not been relevant to us. But if it's true that what I'm seeing is from God, He will put His hand upon three people. Let us pray. Now, can you keep quiet? I didn't keep quiet. Just keep. We can stop playing. Now, what wants to happen? How I wish we entered into this spiritual atmosphere early enough. The reason my teaching was long was not because I planned that it would be long. I was waiting for the animator to come and give us legislative power. There are three people, the hand of God will come upon you. Then I will, if He gives me utterance, I will say more. Father, in the name of Jesus, can you stop praying? Stop. Prepare your spirit. You are used to that you can't hear. Your has no use if you can't hear. The reason for is so that you can mount up with wings to the place where the voice is. So if all you came to do is and you go home with then you don't even understand what we are talking about. Can you be sensitive to the Spirit? So that when the Lord changes gear, you will know. When He changes gear, you will know. You will follow Him. It's not that you will stick to your, you know. When He changes gear, you will know. Now, you see, what will happen here in the next, okay, we're already out of time. Father, in the name of Jesus, in keeping with the need for the territorial shape of the church in Kaduna State to emerge, we see a great need for you to begin to put functionaries in strategic places so that territorial alerts can come, so that legislation on the territorial scope can begin to take place, that the order of priesthood within the landscape can begin to show, that the shape of the church, of the mystical church, can begin to show, reflect in the structures that you build in the natural in order to uphold the dynamics of legislation that needs to take place in the arena in order to secure the victory that you have already handed out. I ask, O God, in the name of Jesus, you said that you will show me three functionaries and then we can begin the spiritual ceremony. I have seen two and I ask that your strong hand might help me find the third individual. Lord, find him or her. Lord, let your hand come stronger as confirmation. Let your hand come stronger. 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 Now you see. He said, where two or three are gathered, when the power of the Lord Jesus comes to animate us, we have capacities beyond the natural. And when we bind things on earth, it is bound in heaven. When we disallow things on earth, it is disallowed in heaven. Now, I would like us to carry out a legislation before I sit down. Father, in the name of Jesus, let the anointing rest upon this lady. Let the anointing rest. Let it rest upon this lady. Let it rest upon her. Let her receive the capacity to begin to receive territorial alerts for summons. Summons in the courtroom. Summons in the courtroom. Now, in the visions that I see now, in the visions that I see two witnesses. Two witnesses. I see two witnesses. One is on this row. One witness is here. One witness is here. One witness is here. Father, in the name of Jesus, one witness is here in my vision. One witness is here. In the name of Jesus, show me the witness. Show me the witness. Show me the witness. Now you can bring that witness. And in my vision also, in my vision, I see another witness. I see another witness. That's one witness. I want us to know that when the maze, when it is put in place, another witness is here. Another witness is here from my visions. Another witness is here. You see, now, if we don't stop this service now, what will happen is that I'm seeing four angels, and those four angels will begin to bring messages, and you begin to see prophecies concerning Kaduna State. If we enter there, we can't stop. Now, are you with me? Are you here? This is the thing that Jesus spoke about. If we start now, many things will begin to happen. Things that will affect the land, that will affect the territory. It will affect the territory. And then the anointings for the territory will begin to come. And collocations will begin to take place. Collocations. Maybe we'll do the practicals tomorrow. Because if we go beyond here, it will be hard to stop.
Thank you for listening to this sermon. Hope you were blessed. For more of Apostle Aramel's sermon, visit rcnsermons.org. God bless you.